Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
With your hosts, Matt Moore and Matt Mastromano.
And Bruce Doosan!
Bruce Doosan!
Oh, yeah!
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
All those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
And brutal takes on music, movies, food, sports, and more.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
WMFO Measure.
So the loonies are outside in the real world, and here we are with the keys to the loony bin, boys.
Good morning. Welcome to the graveyard, or not the graveyard shift. I'm saying that because we're still on the schedule as a graveyard shift, but this is Brutal Brunch for a second week here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Saying goodbye to Darley after some sounds of praise, transitioning over to Brutal Brunch here, and with our special Halloween edition.
Yeah, it's going to be real Halloween-y.
Matt has his jack-o'-lantern shirt. My sweet Adam Green horror movie tour special shirt.
The Marrow.
Digging up the Marrow. So yeah, we are, I mean, it's kind of morning and it's a nice morning, so it's not really the Halloween mood per se. But
no, we're gonna light we're gonna black make it candles. We're gonna it's gonna be crazy in here.
That's right. We got later on today or later on this morning, we have Brutal or Not Brutal, and we have Matt's Black Metal Song of the Week.
It's black too. It's like very. It's very blackened.
Yeah, I mean, when it's the band that when you say black metal, it's the band that you associate with that genre.
Yes.
And that everybody gets nervous about with, like, the church burnings and all that in Norway.
They're not nice.
Not good people.
They're
and,
not
of
nice
course,
guys.
Not, the band itself has a very not nice history.
That's correct.
All right, so we're... Last week we were one and done with the brunch, so we won't be having our brunch segment this
week. Yeah, we'll see if I want to come back with it, but it wasn't good enough. It wasn't funny and or brutal, so I didn't like it.
It was a nice take on brunch because we're ironically titled Brutal Brunch, and Matt hates brunch.
I hate brunch.
So, but yeah, we're gonna keep things.
Oh, also,
focused.
Pig Squeal of the Week later.
We do have Pig Squeal of the Week with a nice new shiny new intro, and yeah, so we'll have fun. Yeah, I gotta keep the focus mainly on Halloween, some horror movies later on.
Madison, 56 horror movies.
54 horror movies that have come out this year so far. And it'll be 56 after today.
The Parents Television Council should come and stop him. He's rotting his young mind on this garbage.
I have my priorities set straight. But, so let's kick off things, because you mentioned this last week with Halloween. And, you made some excursions this month.
Oh, yeah,
month.
A lot of excursions.
Why don't you tell us about where you went?
I went, I like Halloween. I like a haunted house. That's my kind of Halloween thing. But so earlier in the month, I went to Witch's Woods out in Neshoba Valley, which is fantastic. It's kind of silly. Like, there's a range of, like, horror haunted house things. And this is, like, square in the middle where it's, like, kind of silly and fun. But you're not, like, stressed out, you know, the entire time you're there. It's like five haunted houses. There was like a walk through the woods. And then they have the big hayride where the guys pull you on the tractor. And they have like a person telling you the story and you're going through the woods. And then the scares come as they come. But one of the things we were thinking of is because it was at Neshoba, which is like a little ski mountain, is that there's times when you're waiting in line and you're just waiting in line to go to the haunted house. So I was there with a couple friends and we're like, this could be way more stressful if people would just walk down the hill. Or, like, if there was no safe places, like, sometimes you go to the bathroom. What if there was a ghoul in there? What if there's a guy in there just, like, jumping out of the bathroom, freaking everyone out? And I feel like there would be. But then on the other end, you get the, like, haunted houses where you have to sign, like, a waiver for. And I don't think I ever want to do that. You know, like, where you're there for, like, 72 hours and people
like
are, like,
torture chambers
touching
or,
you and
yeah.
stuff. Like, I don't know, thank you. This is more like your classic. Like, you walk around a corner and a teenager comes out and goes, ah! And then you love it. And then you just love it. So yeah, Witch's Woods, fantastic. Good time. Amazing hayride. And it's one of those things where every time I leave, I'm like, I wonder if I could like do this as a part-time thing. You know like how sometimes people like work at the Christmas tree place selling Christmas trees? I'm like, what about for Halloween? What if I was just like a ghoul part-time on the weekend just walking around scaring kids?
You could try it out yourself. Just like do it for a couple weekends, like those clowns, and see how it goes and see if you got what it takes.
I feel like those clowns are going to start getting shot. Because, like, at a certain point, like, because to contrast that, you go to Witch's Woods or, like, your Spooky Worlds or whatever, you're expecting, like, people dressed up walking at you, and it's like, ooh, fun. But if I'm in the street, if I'm just, like, at my house, no, like, that's a problem. There could be a problem, and I'm a nice person. But, like, say you're in the street, say you're a friend of mine, let's call him Rick for short, Rick. Say you're in Idaho and you run into Rick, he'll just shoot you. Like that's just assault.
A kid got stabbed a couple days ago, I believe.
Yeah, man.
He tried to scare his friends
yeah,
with a
con
mask and yeah.
You know? Being scared is consensual.
I mean, yeah, you have to know what you're getting into. And
yeah.
I do like at those haunted house, those scary places or whatever that they will if you're like in a group. They will prey upon, like, they know who gets scared.
They know who's scared.
And
yeah.
they will prey upon that person, the group,
totally.
To make them scream the entire time.
We were in on the on the hayride where sitting, my like legs are sitting off the back. You like sit on this big platform, getting dragged by the tractor. And so it was me and my idiot friends. And then to the right of us were like high school kids or like high school girls. And so the guy with the chainsaw would come up and be like, and just stare at me. And I'm just like laughing and clapping like a baby, like, ha ha ha. And then he would just be disappointed and go to the right of us and scare the crap out of the ladies that were next to us. Because he wasn't getting the reaction he wanted out of me.
Oh, yeah. They're smart.
Which was pure joy.
And then you did a corn maze, right? And you were
corn maze.
You and Peter, what's his last name? In Salem.
Steele?
Yeah, you and Peter Steele, right?
Me and Peter Steele of Typo Negative. So my office moved to Salem Friday, which is a perfect time to move to Salem because it's like Mardi Gras down there the entire week.
So fun.
But I was, we were moving in and I'm like, you know what? Hey guys, I was talking to the younger guys in the office. I'm like, you know what? The Notch Brewery is right across. We'll just go there after work. It's going to be great. And then little by little, as the day went on, they all went home to watch, I think, the Cubs. And I'm like, well, I'm not watching the Cubs because I just want them to lose. So I don't need to watch that.
I did.
Did you?
Now I don't anymore. We'll get to that later.
But I was abandoned in Salem, which is kind of what I wanted. And I just put on my headphones and I just put on a mix of Typo Negative songs and just walked around like a goth teen. I just like looked at the cemetery and like walked real slow through alleyways and looked at the haunted house and sat on benches and just stared at people. It was really fun. It was like really invigorating for me. It was like a real Halloween treat, quite frankly. It's kind of what I wanted. It wasn't as crazy as it usually is with the costumes and the people and stuff. As a gay friend of mine described Halloween as straight pride. Which, if you think about it long enough, it makes a lot of sense.
It's a pretty good analogy.
It makes a lot of sense. But yeah, great time. Salem's amazing. Just as a town, like, we're right on the water, the office. And, like, just walking around there is nice, even if it wasn't, like, spooky Halloween stuff. And we also went to the Davis Corn Maze, which is described as the hardest corn maze in the world? Out in Western Mass. It's shaped like David Ortiz doing, like, the David Ortiz finger point.
Oh, boy.
So last year, my girlfriend and I went to the maze, and it was the first day I was going to meet her parents, too, and we went into the
Did you ever meet her?
Well, we got there at, like, let's say we got there at, like, noon, and we're like, yeah, we're going to do this corn maze. We're adults. We're gonna whip this thing. So we got there at 11, and we didn't finish till like, 4:30, and we had to meet her folks out in Worcester at, like, 5. So it's 4 o'clock, and we're like, we might never get out of here. We're probably not going to get out of here ever. So we forged on, and it took us a solid 5 hours to get out of the thing. And there were opportunities throughout to be like, hey, you can quit if you want. You know, quit. Hey, just here's the easy exit. Just walk out. Just leave. But we didn't. And then this year, we went in, and I said, you know what the plan is this year? We're not going to make decisions. So like last year, we were reading the clues. We're like, ooh, they want us to go left here. Ooh, they want us to go right. So we're going to go left. This year I said no, one direction. Anytime we come up to anything, we're just gonna go right. There'll be no question. If there's a cross, we're going right. And we got out in 40 minutes. I feel like an idiot.
So there you go. There's like a nice little spoiler hint for you if you go to a corn
maze. Go. Well, they change it every day.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah,
every year.
Fun. No, every day they like move these little gates, so the maze is technically different every day.
Very cool.
But yeah, it just went right the whole time. We escaped.
I've never been to a corn maze. I have also, Halloween is my favorite holiday, but I haven't done any like Halloween festivities in at least 3 years. I feel
it's fun, man. Well,
I know it's fun. It's not like I'm trying to avoid it.
You could have been at Witch's Woods, but you were jogging in a marathon.
Yeah, I know.
Like a nerd.
I know. What can I say? Not staying true to Halloween.
It's not true cult to jog in a marathon.
I'm not true cult. I'm a Halloween poser. If you want to chime in about Halloween or horror movies or anything else, the numbers here are 855-915-WMFO, also 855-915-9636, or you can try 781-350-3264. Again, we are Brutal Brunch here on WMFO with our special Halloween episode. And we're going to... So we kick things off with Rob Zombie, Living Dead Girl. And we're now going to keep us some Rob Zombie, but not performed by Rob Zombie, and instead performed by the local band Patient Zero. By the way, Rob Zombie is also a local legend. So.
Also local. Also, try to talk like Rob Zombie today, just during your day. Just be like,
but which one? He has so many voices. That one. Like I told you, when I first heard Living Dead Girl, I was like, oh, there's two singers in this band.
The gruff one.
I didn't even know like White Zombie was a thing or anything, but yeah, anyway. So we're going to try, this is why you always need to be prepared. By the way, some radio tips, because when your main computer doesn't work, you got to switch to your alternate computer. So sometimes it's worth staying up till midnight the night before having all your devices ready. So
that's
we're
going
to try this, make sure this goes off without a hitch. Again, this is Patient Zero and their cover of Dragula by Rob Zombie on Brutal Brunch. And then sometimes the backups or your backups don't work. So we're going to play a song about Jason instead. This is a half-hearted comeback.
Yeah.
Let's see if this one works, shall we?
You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday. You'll ever swim it. You'll ever get. This is the last time you'll ever get. This is the end.
Hello and welcome back to Brutal Brunch, hopefully.
Are we here?
We may or may not be on the air. Everything is breaking down here today. But that's hence the long music break, but it was a good music break, and now I have to...
I think so.
Hey, Matt, tell a quick story for a second while I switch things around here.
Sure. So I think I might have said a little bit of this last week, but I'm still scared of the dark because of the Lights Out short movie on YouTube, and I've been encouraging people to watch it. Lights Out YouTube short movie, not the trailer. I think the movie itself was not good. The theatrical release, I didn't like it. Did you like it?
Lights Out? You saw
it? Yeah.
I didn't know you saw it. Okay. By the way, apparently we are broadcasting up on live.
We're live.
So if you want to call in here, 855-915-WMFO, that's 855-915-9636. You can also try 781-350-3264. Hit us up on Twitter, Boxman37, SnoodDude7.
Hit me on my mobile. anyway, I sleep with the light on. I'm scared.
So yeah, So I was the opposite. I saw the theatrical release first, and then when you talked about the short, I had to go back and see it.
Yeah.
So, and it was pretty freaky. But like we said, there's huge differences between the two. Even not only like what the creature is, but like there's like rules about the darkness. Because in the first one, it's just like craziness happens.
There's no rules.
There's no rules. Like lights flicker or whatever, but then the creature's like boom there in the light. In the light with a crazy face.
Ugh.
Whereas in the theatrical release, you don't see Diana's face.
No.
So I got to tone down the exorcist here. We may have a possessed studio, by the way. I'm not even lying.
Think
with
about
things
it.
Going on. But anyway.
Did you ever see that movie Shocker?
No.
Maybe. Okay, so Shocker was Wes Craven's follow-up after Nightmare on Elm Street. And he did. Shocker was like, it was basically a movie Fallen with Denzel Washington.
Okay.
But dumber. where like a serial killer, he gets the death penalty, and then he like converts to pure electricity as he's getting electrocuted in the electrical chair, and he jumps from station to TV station.
Oh, so it sounds like Ghost in the Machine.
It's like Ghost in the Machine, but dumber.
Nice.
Because at the end of the movie, he gets in a huge fight, and they're like running from TV show to TV show.
That's amazing.
But anyway, that's what's happening right now.
That is so. Real
the
quick
shocker
to recap,
is in our machine.
Now that I think we're settled in, let me run down what we played for you during that big, long, unplanned break. So we kicked things off eventually with Half Hearted Comeback. That was He Was My Son, and today was his birthday. Then we had Toxic Zombie Jason. Onslaught from Lich King from the Do-Over EP, not the original album. If you remember that, they decided to take a bunch of songs and re-record them, and that was one of them. And they put out an EP with a cover that ripped off DRI, and DRI got mad. Then we had Patient Zero, finally, with their cover of Dracula. Dropkick Murphys and their cover of Misfits Halloween. That's off their Singles Collection Volume 2. Then we had the Skeleton Beats Flesh and
Somehow
Bone.
Somehow I wanted to watch the Bruins.
Oh yeah, I finally won last night. But the Skeleton Beats with Flesh and Bone off of Love, Death, Danger. And then the Evil Streaks with Grave Mistake from their album Ghouls in the Garage.
Nice.
And I believe that song, or not that song, but that my notes were also stolen by these demons. But yes, Ghouls in the Garage was a split with the band Voodoo.
Technical Demons.
So yeah, back to Demons. That's what it says. Cannot. Ready?
Mailer Demon.
Oh, hold on.
I already
unable
said the
to start
Demon.
Rivendell Demons. There are little demons.
Little demons.
So anyway, back to horror movies and Lights Out.
Sure.
Thing I liked about the movie, though, is that it's very contained.
Well, she tried to shoot a ghost, which I don't like.
With
a pistol.
You don't know. It's not a ghost, though. You don't know. Like it's beating you up. Like,
that's true. Okay.
It's killing people. But like I liked how like they primed it, like they were gonna go on the Scooby-Doo type adventure, like you see in The Ring and all these other movies where it's like, let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we gotta go to the old farm.
But instead they never make it out of the house, and there's only like five characters, and it's great.
Is that movie Shut-In that I wanna
So there's also a movie originally called Shut-In, got changed to Intruders, which is about a woman with agoraphobia.
Yeah.
And there's a home invasion, which is amazing. But then there's Shut-In with Naomi Watts coming out, which is a completely different movie.
Well, there's another
where
movie
they're trapped in a snowstorm.
That's a New Zealand movie, I think.
That's the Intruders one.
That's Intruders, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which is, I've seen that. That's a great movie. In fact, there's like a lot of cool movies this year that have dealt with disabilities of some form or another.
Yes.
Which is made for some really good movies. Like Hush is another kind of home invasion of a serial killer where a woman is deaf. Obviously, Don't Breathe, where Stephen Lang plays a blind character.
Stephen Lang, my favorite character from that movie with the blue people.
Yeah, that one movie with the blue people.
You know what I'm talking about.
Talking about the Smurfs?
James Cameron, blue people.
Oh, Avatar.
Avatar. I wanted that guy to win. Everyone betrayed the human race.
I've never seen Avatar, and I have no intention.
Let me say
Avatar.
This for all the aliens that might be listening to this show. I will never betray the human race to join you, even if Zoe Saldana is an alien.
Yeah, I just hate James Cameron, so I'm going to leave it at that. Obviously,
you don't like Terminator.
Catherine Bigelow. Can we talk about Bigelow real quick? She won, obviously won an Oscar for The Hurt Locker. Also,
that's a stressful movie.
Possibly, that's a very stressful movie. But one of, arguably, in my opinion, one of the most underrated horror movies of all time, Near Dark. She directed that.
Didn't see that one.
It's a vampire. It's a kind of a vampire with like a love story going on. It's not Twilight. It's nothing like Twilight. It is tremendous. Bill Paxton's in it, and he like loses his mind. He's a vampire. He's a bad vampire, but it's like it's an awesome movie. Check it out, from the '80s.
Vampires are wild, attractive. I was watching a lot of I'm trying to tone down the horror in my house.
Why would you do that?
Because there's people living in my house who don't like it. So I've been watching a lot of like 50s horror and a lot of Spanish 50s horror. And there's a very very handsome man who is in all of them, and he is like the equivalent of like your Vincent Price, where he's just everything and everyone. He's Dracula. He's what is his name? I'm gonna have to look up his name during the break, but he's amazing. But anyway, there's a version. It's called Tomb of Dracula, or Dracula's Coffin. That's on I think it's on Netflix right now. Anyway, and basically it starts with guys just digging up a grave randomly, and they're like, oh no, it's Dracula, and then they drag him back. But then it's like a swinging '60s movie, so he's always going to like bars and like cool nightclubs and just picking up ladies and biting them. It's pretty good. I don't know. It's fine. And it's like not, you know, it's not bloody. It's not gory. No one's head's going to fall off, whatever, but pretty spooky. Guy makes smoldering looks at ladies and they like get bit because that's what vampires do.
So there you go. There's a nice retro recommendation if you're looking for that for this Halloween.
Yeah. And you know what else? Watch The Fury with Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, you got some interest. So, like, I'm here, like, I've watched 54 movies that have come out in 2016. Yeah, and then you're like, I finally got around to this movie that came out 10 years ago.
Yeah, finally.
I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah, so, The Host.
You saw The Host?
I saw The Host. I didn't know what to expect. I think we were talking about it before the show started. And I thought it was just going to be, like, a kind of a dumb, like, just fun, like, oh, there's a monster. Run away, shoot it and stuff. But it was, like, kind of, the monster was in it. They started out showing the monster. You see the monster in the first 2 seconds. And it's like, there it is. It starts out like a short story I wrote as a child where people dump stuff into the water.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, there's a fish monster.
An American company, right?
Based on a true... So basically, essentially, The Host is a Korean movie. It came out in 2006. The director had said he had premised a lot of the movie on an incident that had happened in the late 90s where an American company was actually literally dumping formaldehyde into the Han River, which is like the big river that runs through Seoul and so forth. And there's a lot of American South Korean tensions and a lot of bad blood after that incident. And so the movie is really, to me, just about the strained relationship between South Korea and the United States, and not really about the monster. It's like in the way that RoboCop is a movie about municipal management and not a movie about a robot cop. There was a lot more focus on like the government's response to the situation, how inept they were, how the United States came in and just kind of bulldozed everyone over, but didn't really help. And like super depressing, like kind of that genre of like South Korean cinema.
Yep.
That's like very depressing at the end. You don't get what you want. You don't get like a triumphant ending. It's just kind of like everyone died.
Yeah.
The monster looks terrible, though, I gotta say.
I have to rewatch it because I cannot confirm or deny that at the moment, because I have to rewatch it. I saw this movie a while ago.
The guy looks like he's fighting with a PlayStation 1 character shows up on the screen. But it's fine. Like, other than that, like, it's effective. Like, the drama is effective. The characters are fun. There's a lot of, like, good comedy in it. I think it's listed as a comedy because it's, like, very... even though it's, like, extremely depressing.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Similar is... So, another movie to complain about. Sorry, South Korea. But The Wailing.
South Korea.
The Wailing came out this year too much critical acclaim. And you saw... It was one of these things where it's, like, you see all these reviews be like, oh, American cinema would... You know, goes beyond what American cinema is like brave enough to do, and it's like you're watching. It's like, nope, this is just another movie about possession and dramatic irony. Like, it's not really anything too crazy.
Oh no, I shot that guy, but he was my brother.
The twist is kind of cool because you don't. So like, there's kind of a battle of two conjurers going on, but you don't know who's good, who's bad until the very end, which is kind of cool. But for the most part. It's funny because it's like the first half, it's kind of like a black comedy. Like the goober cop man is like stumbling around with the investigating these murders and doesn't know what's happening. And then it gets very super serious in the second half when his daughter is at risk. Not a very uplifting ending to that one either.
No, never. And I would I've never seen a Korean movie where I've been like, good.
I would, in fact, I saw Ouija last night, Origin of Evil, and I would say that that's a superior movie.
Wow.
To, according to my little ranking sheet here.
Your literal ranking sheet? What's number one? Actually, let's start at 10. Give me your top 10.
You know, top 10 so
starting
far.
Starting at 10.
Subject to change, because I still haven't seen some big, or I shouldn't say big ones, but like critically acclaimed movies, like Under the Shadow, I have not seen yet. But anyway, right now, my top 10. So this is going to be a surprise, but number 10, I would put Clown, which is a Eli Roth production. He did not direct it or write it.
But, he gave it money.
A perfect if you want a perfect mix of first half is black comedy that follows a guy who puts on a clown suit for his son's birthday, and then it turns out that the clown Peter Stormare shows up is like, no, that's the skin of a demon. Why'd you put that on?
Well, that's fantastic.
And the second half it transitions from like the
no, he said like this, that is the skin of a demon. Right. Take it off.
And then so the first half is like kind of lighthearted black comedy, the father trying to like make things right, and then it transitions halfway through to a very serious dark movie with kids getting killed where his wife is like trying to redeem, like making the choice between redeeming her husband and doing us right to basically save humanity
all the time with a clown
with Peter Stormare in tow.
That sounds
amazing. An axe wielding Peter Stormare.
Oh, that's great.
So number nine,
is it Clown with a K or a C?
C. So you know that means it's
get
real.
Out of here.
It's true cult. Number nine, which is going to be timely, and I want to discuss next week, but The Purge: Anarchy.
Oh yeah,
by far those movies in that trilogy got better and better as they went. So yeah.
So wait, so Purge two. Election
there's the Purge.
Year?
No, so there's the Purge. Yeah. There's Purge. I'm sorry, I screwed that up. So I have the wrong list there. It was The Purge. The Purge Anarchy was number two. Purge Election Year came out this year. That's
Purge
what I have
Anarchy.
Number nine. Yes.
Purge Election Year is this year. Okay.
Yes.
Number eight, first Purge.
Number eight, Emily, which is a...
Amelie?
Wow. No, not Amelie.
Shocking.
Different... This the horror remake of...
Oh, okay.
No. It is Emily about a babysitter who is not who she seems. it's pretty awesome. Very stressful movie. Like, at one point, so she's babysitting three kids, and she... like finds a gun and kind of lets it loose in the house, and like the little kid like picks it up and thinks it's a toy, and like the scene where he like literally puts it up to her forehead and you have no idea what's going to happen. So it's like a move. It's like 80 minutes of that sort of tension, which is nuts.
A true tension, a thing that's actually happened, which is toddlers shooting things accidentally.
Exactly. And then you have
gross. I'd rather see Peter trust Stormare with an X.
Number seven, the aforementioned Hush.
Yep.
Number six, The Invitation, which an astute horror movie viewer would kind of know who to believe in this movie, but it's like this couple gets invited to another couple's kind of party for the weekend, and so you have the protagonist couple. The guy used to be married to and had a kid with the woman
the
who
host.
Now has a different husband, yes, who's hosting this party. And then he's like, something's not right here.
Is Lance Henriksen in it, so I know who the bad
guy
is?
No, but I did find, there is a Lance Henriksen movie.
All right.
Henriksen movie coming, no, it's out now. I forget what it's called, but he was in Harbinger Down last year, which was basically the thing on a boat. And now he's back again in another movie. But that's The Invitation. So that's number six. Number five, Southbound, which is like an anthology horror. So you've seen VHS, right?
Yeah.
So the original VHS, the last horror short, the black and white one, that film
one.
Crew, they call themselves like Radio Silence. It's
okay.
Like the four guys in that short directed it. So they put their kind of own anthology horror together, which weaves in and out. All the stories are kind of woven together. It's like kind of a parallel purgatory type thing. And it's
neat.
Pretty good. So number four, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Which, really? Four?
Nobody saw, which pisses me off.
Rightfully so.
Because it was hilarious.
Was it, though?
You haven't seen it, clearly.
No, I have not seen it, clearly.
That
is
like
obvious.
It's like a tight action zombie movie, and it's quite funny.
Okay.
Is
it as good as the first minute of Zombieland, where they just play...
Zombieland is so overrated,
but
man.
The very, very beginning of it, when they're playing For Whom the Bell Tolls, and then slow-motion zombies get smashed. Then you can just turn it
there
off.
There is some pretty sweet... slow motion action in it. It's
so
good.
Here's why did they do those? Like, that was a whole genre, right? Pride and Prejudice, and like all the Jane Austen books had, and zombies.
Yeah, they started to make like sequels.
And they can sell it in Hot Topic.
Have you ever tried to read it though? It's not just like it's not like a total. I mean, it obviously is meant to be a parody.
Isn't it like Control F Zombie?
But it's not like. No, see, it's not. It's like literally Jane Austen's prose, like right. the zombie story. So that's it's like not an easy read. You can't just like fly through it.
No, but is it literally Jane Austen's. The actual text, and then they'll just add stuff in. Like, oh, it's not Mr. Darcy, it's a zombie.
No, it's like okay. It's kind of rewritten, but it's like in that style.
Okay.
So that's
fine.
Because I tried reading it one time, like as a beach read. I was like, this is actually going to take a little bit of time to
digest. Did you see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer? Because I did see that, and I hated it.
Oh, see, I like that.
See, I hated it.
It's just
so
like goofy.
It's not my kind of goofy. It's not. So, like, my kind of goofy, I know. What are you at? Top five? Top three?
I'm about to get my top three.
You're about to get a detour into Deathgasm because I finally saw Deathgasm.
That was my number one movie from the year before.
Yeah, Deathgasm is amazing. It's also like an hour. It's very short, right? What do you think the runtime is? Like 70 minutes?
I don't know.
I feel like as soon as it started going, it was over. But anyway, Deathgasm is about New Zealand teens who are kind of like, you know, awkward losers. They become like a metal band. They're way into metal. There's four guys. Getting bullied all the time. The kid is living with his uncle and his aunt, who are like super religious and don't like him. And his cousin bullies him every day. They find a song in a guy's house. He's like an old 80s metal guy, I think is the concept. I can't think of the name of his band.
He's like an Alice Cooper type.
He's like an Alice Cooper type, yeah. But it was like they found the song. They played it, and what happened was it summons his demon.
It's in our intro, by the way.
Yes, yeah. It summons a demon, and and then it becomes like Dead Alive. It just becomes like guys in corpse paint
with a lot of metal
chainsawing
jokes.
People.
The kind of like metal jokes that we make on the show.
Yeah, a lot of metal jokes, a lot of Trivium references. I thought it was amazing. Like really, kind of the parts of it that were actually funnier is when they were just like awkward nerds, like wearing the corpse paint in the woods, trying to get their like shot for their video, and then that was good. And then of course when it became like horror comedy bloodbath, it was like okay, now we're picking up steam here. But then it just ended, and I feel like it sets itself up for a sequel, but I don't want to spoil. But anyway, yeah, Deathgasm, it's on Netflix, it's like an hour. Take an hour out of your life and watch these New Zealand jokesters cut people's heads off and stuff. It's great. Demon's heads
off.
What happened?
Nothing. Just getting stuff set here.
Mailer demons.
All right, so yeah, see Deathgasm, and then... So back to the top movies of this year so far.
That's right.
Number three, is Road Games, which is a French movie. But it's like most of it is in English, and it's actually kind of cool how they use... So the main character, the guy, the protagonist, is he's from America. And so they use the language barrier because they show you the subtitles of what people are saying, but the characters don't know what each other are saying sometimes, which like they use to create the horror.
Makes sense.
And there's a very... Hollywood's gone in this direction past decade or so where it's like no more feel good endings. We're going to have like these shocking, depressing endings. Yes. But now every movie has that. So now it's shocking when there is a happy ending.
Yes.
And so I like Road Games because they kind of spurn what Hollywood would have done.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen The Strangers?
Yep. I hate that movie.
That movie would be so much better if they just leave them alone and don't kill anyone.
Yeah.
It'd be so good. So that's why I like, not a little bit of a spoiler, but because there are people do get killed in Road Games, but, that's why I like the ending of Road Games.
Oh, good.
You have to see it. Number two, 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh.
Star-studded cast.
Yeah, John Goodman.
Yeah. And then, won't go too much more into that, but it's like, it does have a link to Cloverfield, even though most of it has to do more with claustrophobia and living with a psychopath.
No, thank you.
And then number one, which we discussed for about a full hour one night, Green Room.
Oh, yeah,
Green Room. Has not been budged.
Green Room is a
tremendous movie. Anton Yelchin, rest in peace. Imogen Poots and your boy Patrick Stewart, even though you don't like his character.
It took me out of the movie.
All right.
I'm a white supremacist.
And then finally, I just wanted to see, this is, so apparently we are now disagreeing on a movie that we both saw as well.
Yeah.
Which would be Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Which I have it as number 11 right now.
Wow.
On my list. But
I don't know. Like the first, you know what the problem is? I watched the first Blair Witch again after I saw the new one. And I think the issue is that the first one was so novel for its time that I think that's what I liked about it. And I think I don't actually care about the Blair Witch, like, thing that they did with this movie where they're like, here's more the mythology of the Blair Witch and she's an alien maybe, and like, here's the house and like, whoa, remember this, and then we're going to show you more of this. I didn't care about that, and I think the issue was we've made so many, we meaning the royal we of humanity, have made so many found footage films that they just know how to do it. So it's like, oh, it's a shaky cam film, as opposed to like, this is the first time this has ever been done, it's first person, blah, 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 blah. And it was just like, the technology started to get to me a little bit when they had the drone that was like flying around and looking.
Well, see,
at
that's
stuff.
What I like, because you need to innovate at this point, which is like, one of the things
it made
like,
the shots more interesting.
It was good. I mean, because everybody's all about drones. Trevor Bauer was all about drones.
Yeah.
But so you need that, and then I feel like we discussed this at the time, but like they show the witch, which is
thought that was terrible.
See, I was like, you can't do that. But then I was like, well, you kind of have to, because how you can't, it would be like Paranormal Activity where it's like, oh, here's another movie where a bunch of spooky things happen and we don't show you anything. Like they had to do something different. And so bringing the witch, I thought, was a very good technique. And it was freaky because it's like, you very rarely see the witch like head on. Like you're not supposed to look at the witch because then you get killed.
Sure.
So like the techniques they use to try to find the witch in the camera, I thought it was pretty cool.
That was fine. I mean, like, I'm not saying it was bad.
And
I'm saying
your favorite tunnel scene.
And of course, there's a scene where the main character is like crawling under the house and she's like shouldering her way through dirt under the house.
Like a dirt tunnel.
And there's water in her face. And I was like, literally, we're watching in the theater together and I was like looking away from the screen. It was that stressful. I'm like, I'm not going to look at this. I'm just going to like look to my left. That genuinely stressful. Much like that movie, not The Cave, where the girls go like rock diving.
Oh, The Descent.
The Descent, where like the first part of the movie is just like, oh, we're on like it's like a bachelorette party, right?
They're just trying to get away.
Okay, they're just going on vacation. It's like a gal's vacation. Yeah. And they're like cave diving somewhere in Eastern Europe. And that part is awful.
It's the United States, but yeah.
Is it the United States? Yeah, they're like, not in Eastern Europe.
In like a West Virginia forest kind of thing. I forget which state it is.
It's a very gothic version of West Virginia. Anyway, the first part of the movie is a nightmare because it's just girls trying to squeeze through rocks, and then finally like monsters show up and I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God it's monsters. I don't have to watch these ladies try to squeeze through these little spaces.
That's another terrible sequel, by the way. Never see The Descent 2.
That stinks.
But well, I wanted to bring another reason to bring up the Blair Witch is that nobody saw it. Which kind of annoys me, because I don't understand why number one.
It's a fun movie.
The Blair Witch Project was like you said, it was huge at the time. We were in high school.
Yeah.
Freshman in high school when that came out. And like people, it was kind of like Jaws when Jaws came out and people wouldn't go in the water. This came out and people would not go in the woods. They would not go in forests because they were terrified. And people don't understand that now because like you have a billion movies, a billion found footage movies and all this stuff like that. It's like people still got freaked out or whatever, but you still don't have it because like people still didn't know if Blair Witch was real or not, if these three people had disappeared because like the marketing was so good.
And it was the dawn of like good internet where you could go to that website and be like,
yes.
And they made fake court documents where there was like,
yep.
Litigation about what happened.
Exactly.
The tapes and the crew. Well done.
But so currently Blair Witch is 80th on the year in terms of box office, which actually sounds relatively impressive considering the like hundreds of movie, but
sure.
It only made barely over $20 million in 5 weeks. So it sounds good at first because like, oh, well, it's produced, the production budget was $5 million. Like, yay. But then they spent $20 million on marketing. So yeah. They still haven't technically broken even. But people, why are you not seeing Blair Witch yet you're forking over $100 million to go see The Conjuring 2?
Because it's PG-13.
Or, what was the other one? Lights Out made over $67 million. That's number 31 on the air.
Because Lights Out had a gimmick to it, and people would get out and be like, gotta see this thing, it's gonna be gross.
The Forest made 26. The Forest is not a good movie.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if they like ride in the Natalie Dormer hype from Hunger Games and Game of Thrones or what, but I don't understand.
Everyone loves Natalie Dormer.
The Witch made $25 million. Good movie. Overrated, but good. But it beat out Blair Witch. Boo! A Midday of Halloween has made $39 million so far.
Tyler Perry doesn't exist in the real world of movie numbers.
Don't Breathe, $88 million. So like it's like yay for horror, but like
Happy
seriously,
Halloween.
The second most popular movie after The Conjuring 2, Don't Breathe. Like if you've seen a healthy dose of horror movie, it's really not that shocking. But anyway, I will give horror props because there are 5 horror movies that outsold 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. So we have more people seeing horror movies than that crap. So I'm happy about that. And Yeah, and then
that's a real horror. What's in these emails?
The Boy made $35 million. Surprising. That is a that movie. Like, it looks so bad when the trailers and the stuff came out, but it's actually really good.
The Boy
and the twist blew my mind.
I thought The Boy was great.
Oh wait, you did see The Boy?
Yeah,
and when he comes out of the wall.
Yep. That, it's just a dude.
That blew my mind.
It's not
I was
a ghost.
Like, I did not see that twist coming. It's like, it's a literal. It's well, it's a man, but it's like the boy is real.
Yeah, it's not. Like, yeah.
When he comes out of the walls, man, that scene
it's
was
not a poltergeist
bananas.
Movie.
Bananas.
It's just a movie with a crazy huge guy who lives in the walls.
Yeah. Anyway, so that wraps up our horror movie segment.
Yeah.
We have an hour left. You're listening to Brutal Brunch on WMFO 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Apparently, people are hearing us out over the waves. We're punching
Go watch 13 Hours. The truth is out there.
No, don't see that. We make